From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 6th. Just ahead, during several years of tit-for-tat tariffs, farmers had a response to the government's bailout money. Trade, not aid. Coming up, Harvest Public Media explores what could be the next catchphrase from agriculture. But first, these headlines. A new candidate appears to be emerging in the race to succeed embattled Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Dave McKinney reports.
Add State Representative Kathleen Willis to the list of those weighing a run to unseat the longest-tenured speaker in American history. Madigan's hold on power has been threatened by a corruption scandal. Willis is a four-term Addison Democrat, and while she hasn't spoken publicly about challenging Madigan, she has accepted a speaking slot at a candidate forum on the speaker's race later today with the House Democratic Women's Caucus. So says the group's chair, State Representative Deb Conroy.
She appears to be in and is, I know, making phone calls and trying to gauge the level of support that she has.
Madigan and State Representative Stephanie Kifowit of Oswego also will be at the forum. This is Dave McKinney.
Illinois Republicans will make another effort to tackle redistricting during the upcoming session of the General Assembly. State Representative Tim Butler of Springfield wants to create an independent 11-person redistricting commission via statute.
This gives us an opportunity going into veto session to put this on the books, to pass something quickly, to hold the governor to feet to the fire in his promise to enact fair maps, and to hold accountable the other members of the General Assembly, who we have a lot of members of the General Assembly who have signed on for fair maps.
This comes after a constitutional amendment to change how the state draws legislative districts failed to make last November's ballot. Butler said he plans to introduce the bill on Tuesday. He says he believes there are enough Republican and Democratic votes in the House to potentially move the legislation forward. During an Urbana Board of Education meeting last night, school officials said they plan to welcome back some students to the classroom this month. As Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines explains, the district has also entered into a partnership with the state to provide students and staff access to a rapid COVID-19 antigen test.
In-person classes resume at Urbana schools after the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Urbana Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum says students and staff with COVID-19 symptoms can get tested on-site and get results within 15 minutes. She says staff can also get tested once per week as a form of surveillance testing.
Rapid testing will provide another layer of health and safety to our already comprehensive return to in-person learning plans for both students and staff.
Ivory Tatum says they'd like to use the University of Illinois saliva test, but she says they haven't been invited to, and it would cost the district a lot of money, while the rapid but less accurate antigen tests are free. Ivory Tatum says they expect to receive 30,000 antigen tests through the end of the school year. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Two more people have died from COVID-19 in Champaign County, bringing the county's total fatalities to 90. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District also reported a spike in hospitalizations yesterday. 19 people from the county are now in the hospital with COVID-19. That's up by 10 since Monday and the highest it's been since mid-December. County health officials also reported 55 new cases of the virus yesterday. Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 64 COVID-19 patients on Tuesday, 12 of those patients in the ICU. And as of yesterday, Champaign County has administered about 6,000 initial doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. That represents about 3.5% of the county's total vaccine-eligible population. Still to come, with a new president taking office later this month, that could bring new messaging for agriculture. We'll take a closer look with Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. After harsh and frequent criticism from animal rights activists and environmentalists, many farmers and people who work in agriculture launched an effort to tell their stories to the broader public. A decade later, this effort has worked through several themes. With a new president coming, Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer looks at how ag messaging may change again.
Back in 2013, fresh off Barack Obama's re-election, agriculture groups were hitting their storytelling stride. The United Nations had given them a convenient factoid. Mike Vandelot is a plant breeder who at the time was with the seed company Winfield.
When we take a look at the planet going from 7 billion people to 9 billion people over the next 20, 25 years, obviously the need to increase food production is very, very important.
Farmers signed up for media training, started talking to reporters more, and engaged on platforms like YouTube to spread the message.
Farmers feed the world! Farmers feed the world!
Still, environmentalists and advocates for the hungry would constantly point out that nearly 40% of Midwest corn becomes ethanol, feeding cars, not people. Then ag groups and companies, some of which sponsored social media campaigns and videos, positioned themselves to get their messages in front of the candidates vying for the 2016 presidential nominations. As a candidate, Donald Trump hinted at something that would spark the mantra that replaced Feed the World. Here he is in Des Moines more than a year before the 2016 caucuses, railing on China for devaluing its currency.
And what it's going to do is make it impossible for you to sell your product. It's going to make it impossible for you to compete. And they're getting away
with it. By the time Trump took office, many ag leaders had coalesced around a new message.
Trade is important to farmers.
Brian Keel is director of Farmers for Free Trade, a group that wanted to tell a different story.
The folks who founded Farmers for Free Trade said, well, wait a minute. Without trade, U.S. agriculture goes down the drain. I mean, 20% of farm revenue comes from exports.
The U.S. and China lobbed tariffs on each other's goods, and many farmers watched sales in their biggest market nosedive. As the tariffs wore on, the U.S. Department of Agriculture launched the Market Facilitation Program, a series of payments to help affected farmers recover. A new slogan was born, Trade Not Aid.
Certainly right after the first round of MFP payments, that became a mantra that we heard from a lot of people.
But Iowa native Austin Farrick, who's an ag policy researcher at Yale, sees a coordinated public relations game at play. He says that line's likely to be replaced.
They'll hire some, you know, expensive New York City ad firm to come up with some, you know, catchy little jingle.
Farrick says he's a bit cynical about the major commodity groups and agribusinesses. He says they use these catchphrases to curry favor with the public. Then the biggest checkoff programs and farm bureaus lobby in D.C. and state capitals for policies that benefit their investment portfolios, not necessarily individual farmers.
They started off with good intentions, but I just think they lost their way.
He says now many of these groups are too big and too far removed from the farm. But farmers stick with them for some of the benefits they offer, even if they don't like the entire policy agenda.
I mean, they are doing the most rational economic thing right now.
So while they say they want trade, not aid, Farrick says when the check arrives, they cash it. Kevin Ross is chairman of the National Corn Growers Association and farms in Southwest Iowa. He joined a virtual panel sponsored by Farmers for Free Trade in December.
You know, the farmer wants to derive their profits from the marketplace.
When they can't, he says, the federal support might keep them in business.
For a lot of folks to keep things rolling here and keep the ag economy moving forward in the last few years. But we're very hopeful that that is in the rearview mirror for a bit.
What would Farrick's next great ag line be?
I always like localize supply chains, but I'm too wonky with my words.
You think? But as the Biden administration settles in, it's likely some catchy phrase will emerge as so-called advocates gear up for whatever comes next. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we could see some patchy freezing fog this morning. Otherwise, look for cloudy skies and a high of 35 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Tim Shelley, Lee Gaines, and Amy Mayer. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.